Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
We're doing this for the kids. The unions are the people who brought us a weekend and an eight-hour workday. If we don't do this now, our children will not have a weekend, an eight-hour workday, or collective bargaining rights. This is for
Well, that's one of the intelligent teachers in Wisconsin saying she's doing it for the children. And that if they lose this, they're not going to have weekends. The children won't have weekends either. They'll be child labor. In fact, if they have to give up any of their money and pay for their health care and their insurance for their pensions and insurance for health care, why, they won't have weekends. The children won't have weekends. The poor children won't know what to do with themselves. So do you know what's going on in Wisconsin, Milwaukee? I mean, it's amazing to me that the country is finally catching on to who Obama is, and how the unions, of course, and the people are against each other in this country right now. Once again, we're facing battles this country fought many, many years ago. The left-wing radicals in Wisconsin from the unions have mobbed the Capitol with rent-a-mobs. They've taken the children out of school and used them as fodder for their lies, because the teachers and the others, the state workers who are affected, don't want to pay what everybody else pays for their health insurance and towards their own pensions. I pay for my own pension. I pay for my own health care. Why shouldn't they? And now they're comparing the governor of Wisconsin, who simply wants to prevent his state from becoming like the United States of America, meaning bankrupt. They're comparing him to Adolf Hitler, with a little help from Jesse Jackson, of course. Now, I could ask you which side you're on, because I'd like to discuss this. Are you on the side of the teachers? Do you think that the teachers in Wisconsin and elsewhere should not pay any percentage of their income for their health insurance and for their pensions? You know, the average city teacher compensation tops $100,000. Did you know that? Did you hear that? How do you feel about the Democrats leaving the state and hiding in another state? How do you feel about a state where the Democrats, instead of coming to the plate and doing what they were elected to do, which is vote and lose, they disappear and leave the state? As far as I'm concerned, they should be thrown out of office. I want to talk about something else, because it's bigger than unions, it's bigger than teachers, it's bigger than the headlines of the day, and that is the implicit brotherhood of all men, the sacredness of every human personality. I believe in those things. I believe in decency. I believe in morality. I believe in spirituality. And in fact, as I tried to explain to you yesterday on the Savage Nation, Christianity is such an advanced religion that in fact the only hope for the world is if more people truly understood the teachings of Jesus. I know you find this very hard to understand, because people say, well, I don't believe in religion. I don't want to worship anybody. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to temple. And I say to them, you don't have to go to church or temple to understand the meaning of the teachings of Jesus, because his suffering was a universal suffering. And that message, if it's actually understood by all people, would diminish human suffering around the planet. You take the most evil person on earth, if they could be reached at all, unless their souls are not there at all. And there are people, I believe, without souls. And I don't want to get too esoteric or spiritual right now, because we're going to go back to the union riots that are going on in Wisconsin in a minute. I want to say again, there is a respect in me for man as man, number one. There's a respect in me for the brotherhood of all men, the decency of all men. But we have to work together. Do you understand that? And to simply say, that the governor of Wisconsin is an evil man because he wants to take away collective bargaining rights of teachers. He's an evil man because he wants to force teachers to pay 5.8% of their salaries towards their pension, and about 12% of their health care benefits should be paid for by themselves. He's an evil man, and they have lost their rights. It's all rubbish. Unless the American people come to understand that the party is over, unless the people in this country come to understand that unions have destroyed businesses across this country, unless the American people come to understand the reason we lost the auto industry is because of union benefits and union wages compared with other nations where people make a decent wage, but they don't make an exorbitant wage. They make a wage equal to what they're actually doing, and therefore the auto manufacturer is going to those countries, not to Detroit. The reason Detroit is hollowed out is because the unions destroyed Detroit. I understand that. You think I like paying as much taxes as I pay to support the deadbeat bums in this country and pay for health care for criminals across America? I don't like it at all. You think I like paying for the corruption in the U.S. government? You think I like paying for Obama's flying around on Air Force One to go raise money on his behalf instead of on behalf of America? I don't like it at all. But I pay every cent. I pay retail on my taxes. So nobody likes to pay any more than they have to. The question is, what are we going to do about it? So we have some Republican fiscally conservative governors who are saying, here's what we're going to do about it. You're going to pay a little bit more than you're paying. You're going to pay something, rather, towards your pension and your health care, and they're rioting. And they're trying to paint Governor Walker in Wisconsin as some kind of evil man. Under this plan, public employees such as park rangers, teachers, and prison guards will have to pay a portion of their money for their health care and for their pension, and they will lose the right to join unions, which are fundamentally dictatorships. If you're against dictatorships, how can you be for a union, which is a dictatorship, is what I'd like to know. And so I'd like to ask you, whether you're an employee of a state somewhere in America, who do you think is going to pay your pension, and who is going to pay for your health care if not you? You have to pay a part of it. Who do you think pays for my health care and my pension? I do. Any company in America knows that this is what's required, is that people have to contribute towards their own benefits, or else it's not going to happen. I think when I go to the across the river, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw that is from the hand of God. See, God tells you that. That's the thing about Jewishness. It's a lusty religion, number one, and it's also fundamentally connected to the body. This is something good about that. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. For who will eat, or who will enjoy if not I? This is again from Ecclesiastes. For to the man that is good in his, etc., you got the picture. Enjoy it, in other words. Then, of course, I could get into everything. There was a season. Boy, if we're not living through times that are tumultuous, where people are terrified of the baby in the White House, or shall we say the babe in the White House, who sets the world on fire and then goes a-dancing. You want to play Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds? Because that fits right here. You can sing along. Whoa! Stop right there. A time to kill and a time to heal. We have to eliminate this. We have to burn the Bible. We have to take Ecclesiastes and set it afire. All good Americans are now to report to their local police station with the Bible and make certain that they throw it into the fire, because it's so politically incorrect. It is so awful. It says this is a time to kill and a time to heal. That's not good. A time to love and a time to hate. Hating is bad. The children today are taught not to hit back. And that's why you can be stepped on by a third world nation that comes in here and steps on you and brainwashes your children. Play your turn again before I say something I regret. Go ahead. Take a pill. Take a psychiatric med. Here it comes.
A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast
stones together to everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn.
Listen to this in a minute.
And their time to
see where I'm going with this.
A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace.
Okay, let's stop right there. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. We're at war, and we have a babe running America. We have nation after nation declaring war on us. We have one nation after another spitting on us. We have a Navy turned into a diversity training vehicle while all this is going on. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? I hope you do. The Navy couldn't be found anywhere. They were doing diversity training. Comes to rescuing American citizens in Libya. Whatever happened from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli? The halls of Montezuma are the drug gangs in Mexico. The shores of Tripoli are landing the Marines and killing Gaddafi and his henchmen and liberating the Libyan people and then seizing the oil fields. That's what a military is for, national security. Right now, oil is in our national security. It'll destroy the economy. Kill him, kill his henchmen, give liberation to the people, and seize the oil. That's all. What are we sitting here? What's the use of a military under Admiral Mullen and Commander Obama? Play the Marine Corps hymn. That's what I want to hear from them, because that's in the Marine Corps hymn. From the halls of Montezuma. It's Montezuma, by the way. You got to get that C in there. To the shores of Tripoli. What do you think it was about? You think it's a song? It's to stir men up to go out and conquer the enemy, subdue them, take their natural resources. National security, Jack, forget political correctness. National survival requires that we seize the oil fields. That's all. What do you think? We should have had a war for oil. Let's stop for a minute. Let's discuss this for a minute. We wasted over $1 trillion or $3 trillion in Iraq, liberated 24 million ungrateful Shia who were oppressed by the Sunni Saddam Hussein. And you know what we got in return? The middle finger from the nasty Shia of Iraq. They didn't give us a barrel of oil. The first lease of oil rights in Iraq were given to the Chinese. You hear this? Have you ever heard of a moronic country like this? Bush, then Obama, there's nothing left. There's nothing left here. After 8 years of Clinton and 8 years of Bush, you know what we have now? Celebrating Motown. That's all. That's what we got left. But what was the point of the war in Iraq? It should have been a war for oil. The liberals said no war for oil. Well, we went to war, but we didn't get anything. We got a war and no oil. I would say since so many men sacrificed so much for this country, in national security interests, we should have had oil for it to at least give us reparations for liberating the ungrateful Shia. But no, nothing. Zero. Well, you say, well, why? Because we're stupid and weak? Nah, don't be stupid. It's because the Seven Sister Oil Companies want the cartel to control the price of oil. Don't be a schmuck. Of course there's no oil after the war. It was to make sure that the gas is $10 a gallon, you know, during Motown's administration. That's all. It's all $10 a gallon. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to put in there? Banana peels? You're gonna put methane gas into your gas tank? They got you over a barrel. This is a repeat of history all over. Remember Jimmy Carter, the gas lines? Same thing. Every time there's a weak liberal in power, the gas lines are longer. It's like the liberal quotient that I talked about yesterday. As the derriere goes down, the liberal quotient goes up in the women. Did you remember that one? I was trying to work on it. I was bored in the middle of the night. The lower the derriere, the higher the liberal quotient, the higher the LQ. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I don't think you're really interested in this, really. I mean, I could play stuff that you'd be interested in. I don't think people are interested in this dry stuff, to be honest with you. I know you're not. I know you're not interested in Israel anymore. I knew that. I have a very good instinct about it. If you woke up tomorrow and read that Obama said Israel should disappear from the planet, you'd probably go about brushing your teeth and seeing who you can contact on Twitter. Or if he said we're giving Taiwan to China, you'd probably brush your teeth and go on to Twitter and see who you can go out to dinner with tonight or who you can hook up with. You know, it's not I got to be honest with you. I know that I'm from another generation, and maybe I care too much about certain things. I'm not going to apologize for it, but I was discussing this last night with someone, and I said, don't you know that the world that we grew up in is no longer here? We grew up in a different world than the world that we're living in today. It's a different universe. Obama's not from our world. Obama's from a much more, shall I say, nihilistic, atheistic world where there's no loyalty to any nation, no loyalty to the concept of nationhood. In fact, no loyalty to the concept of decency, in my opinion. And I said many of the things we grew up on no longer exist. Duty, loyalty, honor to your own family, to yourself, starting with yourself. Do you have a duty to yourself? Do you have honor to yourself? Do you have loyalty to yourself? How about your family? How about duty, honor, and loyalty to something bigger than yourself, something beyond the family? Very little of this goes beyond anyone who's younger than 50, in my estimation. Some have it, but most don't. I think most people are living on their id. They're running on pure id fumes right now. And I don't think that the world that I live in is really the world that the general American public truthfully shares in. And I'm not apologizing for it, nor am I trying to marginalize myself. And in a way, maybe I'm trying to explain why I care about these issues that I care about. And so having said that, I still have millions of listeners because they are either from my generation or they're a little younger than me, or they think the way I do, or they'd like to know how I think and try to figure out who's right, me or the atheistic, nihilistic people who follow people like Obama, etc. I mean, I'm trying to put this in context for you. I'm feeling my way through this as I discuss it with you. And I think it's a very big discussion, which is the world I grew up in, the world I believed in, no longer exists. It wasn't all destroyed by Obama. I would say it started, the destruction of the world I live in was started by Bill Clinton.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Make you take the cloth. You look at these women. It's like a new generation of like monster women. Ooh, like insect women. Imagine trying to satisfy a woman like Lady Gaga. It'd be like, imagine that if you were like her lover. It'd be like trying to climb Mount Everest in flip-flops. Could you imagine that trying to satisfy Lady Gaga would be like trying to climb Mount Everest in flip-flops? It would be like diving to 1,000 feet below, you know, the ocean level with the without oxygen tanks. How could you do that? How could you even be Lady Gaga as a human being? How could you stand being yourself? You're so fabulous. You're so important. You're so sexy. You're so talented. You're so famous. You're so creative. How do you get up in the morning? How do you stand getting up in the morning? How do you stand eating an egg in the morning? How do you stand having to brush your teeth? How do you take having to go to the bathroom? How do you stand living? It's impossible. Now try to be her boyfriend. Forget husband, okay? She's not marriage material. But try to be her boyfriend. Figure that one out. How do these women expect a man to even come near them? What's the difference? Who listens to these shows? Does anyone listening to my show ever watch a Real Housewives show on a regular basis? I swear I never saw women like this. When I'm in L.A. and I go to Beverly Hills, if I go to Rodeo Drive to look at the stores, which I enjoy doing because I like seeing all of the Japanese and Italians with cameras taking pictures in front of stores where they don't shop. I don't know how the stores survive. No one ever shops in them. And they have a very good deli around the corner, by the way, who has very good gefilte fish. Nate Nals has the very good. The reason I go there is they have very good gefilte fish and stuffed cabbage. Which is very funny. Like, why would you go to Rodeo Drive for stuffed cabbage? Because the food's very good. But you see the women, you know, they come out shopping. Like, what? What man would want to be with a woman like that? Aren't any real women in the world? I mean,
These are not real women of Beverly Hills. These are the freak women of Beverly Hills. These are the freak women of Atlanta. When did reality shows start? Probably Ringling Brothers. I told you as a youth I was a fan of the so-called freak show at the circus. In other words, you go to the circus, the normal kids like, and in the middle ring we had, you know, in the side ring, I don't know, I was with the horse and this and the lion. It was okay, but it was predictable. I could not wait to drag my father or mother into the freak show because I really was amazed at what was back there. But I guess you know, there's no such thing anymore. A, they're on Obamacare. They don't even need, they don't have to work for a living. They sit at home and collect the government check. So I guess what we have left are women with facial implants. You see those lips? Does anyone listening to this show find a lip like that sexually attractive? Does anyone looking, let's forget the other part of the anatomy. Let's just deal with the face. This is what the burqa was invented for. The burqa was invented for women like the real wives of housewives of Beverly Hills. They should all be in burqas with only slits for their eyes. Nightmarish. You know, get back to me in 15. I'd like to see what their children turn out to be. Get back to me when their children are 15 and 16. Get back to me. Let me see what the children are like. What drugs are the children on with a mother like that? You know what I mean? I'll take a fat housewife who stays home and makes dinner for the children. Okay, look, I'm just ranting about this. I can't believe it exists because it's like I stumbled into a new world. I had no idea it existed. I was bored. I was getting over dental surgery, so I was flipping around between The Godfather, where I heard Fredo again. Play Fredo again. I just want to hear it one more time before taking a call. I can't resist.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart, and I want respect.
Oh, no matter how many times I see that movie, I love the scene where the Cuban Superman appears. And like the prudish mafioso, Michael is disgusted by the sex act. We're supposed to believe all of them are like loyal to their wives and they only wanted to deal in drugs and kill people. But when they went home, they were good Catholics who were good to their wives and children. And they were disgusted by such things, even though they owned the club, you know, themselves. So Michael shows disgust and Fredo, being who he is, gets, you know, all nervous and he says, and the senator who got caught in the House of Ill Repute in Vegas, remember, says, "Hey, Freddie, how did you find a place like this?" "Oh, I don't know it. Old Mo wouldn't come to a place like this. But old Joe, whatever his name is, took me to a place like this." And then you see Freddie. Then you see Michael's face. He knows his brother betrayed him. And the best scene in that particular movie, many great scenes. Coppola was a genius scenarist. I mean, he blew it. He became too rich too fast. And started producing Drek. He didn't have to work anymore. But the staging of the revolution in Cuba was amazing. That New Year's Eve, when the military marches in, and the president, Batista, announces that the rebels have won, and he's no longer supportable, and salute, 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 and goodbye, and he flies off the island, and all hell breaks loose. You know, we can't blame Soros for that one. Little did they know that the Marxist revolutionary Fidel Castro would be far worse than Batista. Little did they know that the communist bastards who took over the island would be far more murderous, more criminal, with less of everything for everybody on Cuba. Little did they know that the criminals did a better job than the criminal Cuban, than the criminal Marxists did. Little do you people know what Marxists are, which are all gangsters. They're all criminal gangsters. There is no difference between a criminal government and a Marxist government. It's one and the same thing. In fact, I read the biography years ago of Meyer Lansky, and in his later years, he said he spent his whole life killing people and robbing from them to put together his life's fortune, which he invested in a hotel in Cuba, the Nacional, I believe. And he said then a bigger criminal than him came along with an army and stole it from him, called Fidel Castro. I mean, you want to talk about truth? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to talk about Egypt right now. I mean, if I got an Egypt call, okay. We know already. I made my point. The liar vermin in the media caused the revolution, and they're nowhere to be seen when it's going on in Iran. Those rats, I hate them. Play Hyman Roth. Go ahead, Hyman Roth.
I'm a retired investor on a pension. I went to Israel because I wished to live there as a Jew. The twilight of my life.
The Hyman Roth character, as played by... Who played Hyman Roth in The Godfather? Lee Strasberg, the great film the great acting coach, Lee Strasberg. Remember when they pull up that little house in Florida, little 3-2, and the wife is in the crinoline serving him a tuna fish sandwich? It was so ridiculously absurd that it was almost believable. It was so unbelievable. No security. The front door's unlocked. He's watching a ball game. You know, amazingly beautiful with the leg up on the chair. His favorite line, I love that favorite line, is when he has the heart condition in Cuba and they say, we're sending for a doctor. He shakes his hand. No, no, I don't trust a doctor who can't speak English.
Since you have to take it easy and he's going to give you a prescription, he'll be back tomorrow.
I want my own doctor. Fly him in from Miami.
Of course, he wants English. A Jewish doctor from Miami. No, he wants a Cuban doctor. Went to the University of Havana. He wants an Obamacare doctor. Sure, bring him right in. It's just he wants an Obamacare doctor. Even Fidel Castro sent out of the country for a doctor when he got sick. He sent for a doctor from Spain who was probably a Jewish doctor from New York who had to fly in from Spain with a mustache. I mean, stupid they're not. The gangs, look, the criminal communists are not stupid. You know, you may hate Saul Alinsky, but stupid he wasn't. Rules for Radicals, the book that Obama said was the best education I ever had, better than anything I got at Harvard. I mean, you got to understand that the ideological father of Barack Obama, the community organizer par, no one could top Saul Alinsky. Obama said it was the best education I ever had, better than anything I ever got at Harvard. The Rules for Radicals. Oh, yeah, you don't know anything about that. The communist street agitator. They finally have their president. It's like, again, like The Godfather. There was a lot of truth in The Godfather when they said, we finally have what we've always wanted. We have business with a friendly government, meaning Batista in Cuba, the gang, right? He said, we're only a few steps away from raising enough money to putting a president in the White House. Hello? How about speeding the clock forward to 2011? The community organizers finally put a president into the White House. Okay? What else do you want to know? Many of the tactics and principles that Saul Alinsky laid out are being acted out every day on a daily basis by the Axelrod, Emmanuel, Obama media complex. Community organizer is now president. That's why we are bankrupt. That's why the world is in turmoil. That is why the Middle East is going up in flames. That is why there's so much corruption and criminality wherever you turn. And that is why there are so many idiotic people at every level of the government. See, is it any wonder I'm talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Of course not. But I'll go into this at another time, the Saul Alinsky deal. 1-800, why am I giving out the phone number for? There's no, you can't get on the show. When I get into one of these moods on a show like this, you can't get on the air, that's all. I ask a few important questions, like how long would a marriage last? No, play Lady Gaga for 1 minute, just to get the energy, the yoni energy going. The yin energy. Now picture her after a performance. Try to entertain her. Try to take her out for a drink. Try to sit in a nightclub with her. See if you can keep her occupied. Try me after a show. You couldn't keep me occupied. There's not a woman on earth who could satisfy my mind after a show, let alone Lady Gaga's needs, okay? I mean, I'm a radio performer. I can't imagine what it'd be like to be with her. How does this woman come off that high? That's what I want to know. What does she use, man? Don't tell me it's chamomile tea. Washington, D.C., Sylvia, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you say that you'll never get hooked on The Real Housewives and their spinoffs, but I'm telling you right now, you will get hooked to all of them. I did. I thought I never would a year ago. Now I'm hooked to every single one
what
of
is
those
it?
Shows.
What is addictive about The Real Housewives shows?
Because it's, first of all, it's mindless TV with people that are so superficial and stupid that it makes my own life, and I'm a real suburban housewife here in Maryland.
So in other words, it makes you feel superior to them? That they're so vacuous they don't even know that they look that stupid?
Well, exactly. And not only that, it's just a car wreck that you never thought. One of the women in Beverly Hills.
But how could these women, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, how could they think that anyone thinks their lives are worth living?
Well, one of those women spent $60,000 on her daughter's fourth birthday party. $60,000. I mean, that's what my husband makes in a year.
Right. And you find that interesting to look at?
I just find that so, superficial, and there's nothing else on TV. I just looked at that, and I say to myself that my life is actually pretty good if these women...
All right, so you actually feel your life is better because you watch these vacuous, ugly women.
Well, like I said, it's just a car wreck that you just can't...
Are you sure it's not because you're jealous? Aren't you vicariously wishing you could live like that?
Watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and let me tell you, there's nothing to get jealous about those women. I mean, they look like Mack trucks.
Well, that's like watching The Sopranos, The Real Housewives of New Jersey. You know, that was almost like a beginning of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. The Sopranos, those double knit outfits. All right, whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. If I start watching it again, I don't know what I'm going to do. I may have to go into addiction therapy. But getting back to Lady Gaga, could anyone listening to the show, could you actually think you could be her boyfriend? Could anyone please this woman? How does she get off that stage and calm down? She's not using passion flower herbal tea. She's not meditating on a mat. I mean, what is she doing to calm down? I only do radio. It takes me 3 hours to get off an adrenaline high. And that's without even getting excited. How does someone get up there with that kind of voltage and come off the stage? What do they do with themselves? I don't understand it. I can't understand it. I mean, inside maybe inside me, there's a performer. You understand that talk radio at the end of the day is a performance art. Do you understand that? No matter how political I may get, at the end of the day, talk radio is a performance art. I am a performance artist, one way or the other. I have no lights, no action, no camera. It's all my mind and my ability to express ideas, and you're listening to it. Why? What are you listening to the show for? What are you listening for? You want to see me fall off the stage? I mean, you think about it. Is this a reality show to you? Are you waiting to hear me say something that might embarrass me and cause my career to go up in smoke? It ain't going to happen, buddy. People have been waiting for 16 years. It's never happened and never will happen. So I want to know how long a 60-year-old could be married to a 25-year-old. Deborah in Tennessee, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to share my marriage with you. When my husband and I were married, I was 26 and he was 61.
Wow.
He just passed away on December the 5th, and he was 89, and I'm 54.
Was it when you were 25 and he was 61? What was it? You wanted a father figure? I'm not trying to be, you know, facetious. Did you like the feeling of being protected by a fatherly figure?
Not at all. He was the most intelligent, manly man I had ever met. I had been married before.
So he swept you off your feet because he was such a great guy?
Yes, he did.
And how did you meet him?
Well, I did craft shows. And I met
I'm sorry, did you say craft shows?
Yes, yes.
What, like macrame or?
Well, no, actually I did dough art. You know, with the salt,
dough art?
Flour and water.
Now, ma'am, look, this is a family show. We have to be careful here.
Dough.
You played with his dough?
No, sir. With ornaments. where you mix flour and...
Did you? No, okay, come on. I'm just kidding. But did you have children with him?
We tried. And apparently...
He was already incapable of it?
No,
I don't... Okay, I don't want to get into details, but at that time, there was no Viagra at that time.
No.
At that period. This was pre-Viagra, PV. This was a different world. So how did that work for you?
That was not the problem at all. We never had any problem in that regard.
So he was always... Oh, that's interesting.
Well,
you attracted to him because of his sexual prowess and his brains, either or both?
Both.
Both. So what are you going to do now that he's dead and you're 54? What are you going to do? Look for a nice 80-year-old?
Not at all. I don't ever want to be married to anyone again because there's not...
All right, so that was your perfect love. I understand. That's a very beautiful story, I suppose. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, I'm going to take your calls. I've laid out a couple of stories. There's another one I want to point out. Snow in San Francisco in 1882. It snowed in San Francisco before car invented, I wrote.
And what I meant by that was to show you that we had strange weather patterns long before the automobile even arrived on the scenes and started to produce carbon dioxide. Ooh, isn't that carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide? Well, we don't even know what kind of carbon comes out of a car, but it's all bad, you know. We learned it's bad and businesses are bad. We don't know monoxide from oxide, from dioxide, from peroxide, but we don't want cars, man. It's pollution. Well, if you look at the pictures there, I love archival photos. And it shows records of amounts of snow falling in significant amounts in San Francisco going back to 1882, long before the polluting automobile arrived on the scene and ruined the perfect hippie city by the bay. So huge snowfalls in San Francisco, 1882, 1887. I think that was before Henry Ford was even a glint. 1951, 62, and 76. And they're interesting, beautiful pictures, if you want to look at them. And what does it tell you? It tells you an awful lot. But, of course, it would require the ability to have deductive or inductive logic. It would require the ability to think. It would require the ability to have gone to school when I did in the 1950s, where it was drilled into me to think for myself and answer my own questions, where teachers wouldn't give you the answer. In fact, if they would never think of giving you the answer. They made you come up with the answer. All of my studies as a child, whether it was in algebra even, I was taught to come to conclusions on my own using logic. Now take a look at what we have instead. We have drug children who are taught not to think because it's painful and evil, to just listen and repeat and regurgitate like a Gerber's baby eating tofu that was left out in the sun. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I think what I'm going to do is going to put on the life coach hat. Remember I did that last week? It was very popular. I told you there's a new trend where people are bypassing state licensing and they're becoming what's known as coaches. People who are such idiots who would pay them, I don't understand it, but it's a big trend. Apparently, they charge a fortune. You call them up like you have a trip to, you're going away this weekend for President's Weekend with your children, and you can't stand your husband, for example, and you really hate your children, you don't want to be with them, and you're feeling conflicted about going anywhere with them, skiing, you don't want to be in the room with them. The thought of it is giving you claustrophobia and hives. But you're afraid to tell anybody because they'll think that you're a bad person, so you don't know who to turn to. You're afraid to even turn to a psychiatrist for fear they'll turn you into to the state. So you're going to a life coach. You're paying them $300 an hour. So an hour before you get in the car, wherever you're going to go to, like the Poconos to go skiing, you call Roberta Life Coach, and she tells you, don't worry, it'll be okay, just take some pills and drink. And you say, I feel much better. So I'm going to be Life Coach Mike now for the next segment on the Savage Nation. If you have a life problem that you would like answered, give me a ring at 1-800-449-8255. If you're lucky enough to get on the show, you're going to get thousands of dollars of advice for nothing. For 2 cents plain, you're going to get it. I'm serious. You know how good I am at this because I have common sense. There's one thing Donald Trump said about me that I liked. It's the only thing he said about me that I liked because the only thing he ever said about me is I was at Mar-a-Lago. Someone invited me to a lunch there. It was a very nice lunch. And Donald Trump arrived on the scene. And everyone clustered around him because he's the king. It's his place. And he runs a great place, by the way. So I don't know how he looked over at me and he almost like benighted me with like a wand, a mental wand. He said, Michael Savage, you've got common sense. You go beyond politics, he said. You've got common sense.
You could literally feel the crowd go, ooh, you know what I'm saying? And all the billionaires started to cluster around me. They wanted to walk with me into the dining room after that. It was safe to be with Michael Savage because I had common sense. I was no longer politically, I was no longer a political outcast. So why don't you try my common sense? If you've got a problem or you want to talk, if you really rather talk about the news, go ahead. I've thrown out 100 news stories. You don't seem to care about Wisconsin and that Obama sent out the buses and the rent-a-children. Like some dude, that's the governor, who is simply asking the teachers and other employees to pay 5.8% of their salary toward their own pension, which is about the private sector national average, and about 12% of the health care benefits should be paid by them, which is about half the private sector national average. And, of course, the union goons are saying that he's a Nazi and Hitler because he wants to balance the budget. New York, first call on Dr. Mike. Peter on WOR, thank you for calling. There's the Dr. Mike hat is on. What's on your mind?
Dr. Mike, how are you, sir?
Yeah, what's on you? What's your question for the life coach?
This is my problem, Dr. Mike. I was a city teacher, and I had to leave the profession because of the liberals that I was surrounded by. The liberals making excuses for the current nanny state that we have in New York. I don't know if you know, but they're trying to ban smoking even in public places, outdoors.
Oh, yeah, they're banned it in the and they banned it in prisons so that they would be, listen to this. The poor guys are locked up for X years of their life, so they ban smoking in prisons, and guess what they put them on? Medication. Medication instead of cigarettes. And take a guess who benefits from putting these prisoners on medication. The drug companies. Okay, so anyway, so what's the question?
Well, also, right now there's a budget issue with Mayor Bloomberg, and he wants to lay off teachers. I left the profession, but he's trying to lay off teachers. And
so you
and
took an early buyout. So what's the question? You did already what you had to do.
Right, right. Well, my question was, how do I deal? Because when I explain to liberals, because you know how combative and miserable they are in general.
Oh, miserable human beings.
They are
miserable. All of them grew up hating the world. They had miserable parents with oilcloth underneath it, and they taught them that America is no good, capitalism is evil, all businessmen are thieves, everything is bad. Then they sent them to camps in the Poconos on some union camp for red diaper dopa baby children, and they turned out to be horrendous women and men. See, what do you want to know, how to deal with them?
Sometimes I just need to know, I mean, do I count to 10? What do I do? Because I just...
Well, you do the way I did, move out of New York. Well, that doesn't help because I'm in a worse city than New York. You see, New York's actually a better city than San Francisco because you have such a large population that you might encounter a sane person. One out of five might be sane. Four out of five are psychotic liberals. But one out of five might be a patriotic American. San Francisco, it's 10 out of nine are psychotic. So I become a hermit and just talk to my dog and ride my bicycle and do my radio show, write my books. What else is there to do? You know how I approach life now, Peter? Honest to God, people will disappoint you no matter what their politics are. The truth is that it's the fault of the apple. You know what I'm saying? It's the fault of the apple. The crystal is blemished. There's no perfection on earth. And if you're going to look for happiness through people, you're never going to find it. If you look for happiness in yourself, you're never going to find it. The trick is to stop looking for happiness. If you're eating and you don't have cancer or a disease and no one in your family has been struck by lightning, so to speak, consider yourself a lucky man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm very happy. I'm a very happy person, and that's what I think they don't like.
Oh, they want to know why you're happy.
Yes.
They want to steal your joy.
Yes.
Well, why don't you just not hang around with them? I had to drop friends throughout my whole life. You know when I really thrived in life was way back in the 80s. I had to drop some friends. I liked them. They were very nice people. But they were all very liberal and very locked into their doctrines. And I had to leave every one of them to get away from their mentality because I knew I couldn't thrive if I maintained friendships with them. I literally had to pull them out of my being, out of my head, in order to get ahead in life. I had to dump them all, and I did. I'm at the same phase of my life right now. The few people I talk to, I'm going to stop talking to completely because I feel myself paralyzed by them, and it has almost nothing to do with their politics. This is another story, by the way. It has almost nothing to do with politics. At a certain point, you have to molt in your life. Various stages, people have to molt, and there's no age attached to it. And in order to do so, you literally have to leave behind you everything that is familiar. I'm very serious about that. You can do this at age 70. It doesn't matter how old you are. Just disconnect yourself from the people who you know, and you're going to meet new people because nature abhors a vacuum, Peter. You'll find other ideas, other interests, and other people coming into your life, Peter. If not, there's always toy poodles.
Thank you, Dr. Savage.
Thank you. You see that? This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
So you don't care about Wisconsin, you don't care about Tel Aviv, Cairo. No one cares about anything. There's an apathy, there's a general apathy. People are exhausted. They just don't give a damn about the news. They don't care about anything. Well, they don't really. They care about their own ids. We're running on id fumes in America. We're generating by our own pleasure principle. Let's put it to you that way, to go into a Freudian analysis. It seems that America has become increasingly generated only by what's in it for me. Can I eat it? Can I make love to it? Can I wear it? Beyond that, I don't think there's much of a care about anything in the country, by and large. Yeah, there's some. The Tea Party people are doing a great job. But how much can you do when you realize that you have a government stacked against you? You got murderous gangs killing cops on the border, and you've got a human being running the Department of Homeland Security saying that the border's never been more secure. You've got a military in Afghanistan when we need it on the Mexican border. You go up and down the list. You've got a lying incompetent in the White House, and the people put up with it. Even the mainstream media knows that he's a lying incompetent. Even they're alarmed by the fact that he's bypassing them with his silences, and he's going to social networking in order to get out his lying messages. But, it's a too little too late already. Jonathan in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
The union labor movement, my belief, is critical and fundamental to the existence of a middle class in this country. And the demonization, in broad general terms, of the union labor movement, I think, is terribly unfair and doesn't speak to the history.
Your first statement is that unions are necessary for the survival of the middle class.
That's correct, sir.
Well, the fight in Wisconsin is actually the middle class who threw the Democrat socialists out, who was saying no to the union. So how do you define the middle class? The voters are, by, let's say, definition, generally middle class. And if you add up all the numbers, wouldn't you say most voters are members of the middle class?
No, I wouldn't necessarily subscribe to that generalization. I think people.
Okay. Well, you say that most voters are rich.
I'd say most voters vote. Across a broad spectrum of economic.
Yeah, but by and large, would you say that there are more rich voting than more middle class or more poor voting? Would you say that in any election, generally, isn't it generally outweighed by the poor and the middle class rather than the rich? There aren't that many rich. So by by numbers, you can't say that the vote is dominated by the rich, can you?
Well, I think the polls, to a certain extent, are dominated the rich, but not necessarily because of their vote in the ballot boxes, because of the financial influence that they exert with respect to political contributions.
Oh, you mean like poor Obama, who had a struggle to get the $1 trillion to become president? Where did that money come from?
For very wealthy constituents and a broad base of small contributors because of.
So now you want it both ways. Now you say that Obama was elected by poor people and very rich people.
Well, he won the election, I think.
Saying, where did the $1 trillion come from? How did an unknown senator raise $1 trillion? Where did it come from?
Through powerful political connections.
Okay, but let's go back to your main point. My point is that the middle class is rebelling against the unions because the unions don't represent the interests of the middle class in Wisconsin. The middle class are the ones who pay the taxes, after all. They're saying we're taxed to death and we think the teachers should pay a fair share of their health care and their pensions. So how can you say it's the middle class that the unions represent when they don't represent the middle class?
Jonathan,
come on. Listen, you're probably a nice guy. When I was younger, you and I probably would have been friends, but I have an older man's wisdom. The fact of the matter is, when you think about this again after the radio show, you know, in the middle of the night when you lay down, you'll say, oh, you know, Savage raised a good point, that the unions destroyed the auto industry. And the proof is that they moved the factories to Mexico. You look at half the cars that were made in Detroit, they're made in Mexico now. Why? Because there's no union wages, no union pensions, no union health care. Yet the people in Mexico are producing nice cars. They're doing it for a decent wage. They're not living on nothing a day. They're making a decent wage, but they're not making the extraordinarily high wages with the high benefits that the auto workers demanded out of the auto companies in Detroit. So I think your argument has been destroyed by mere fact that I've given you one major example, a clear one at that, of how unions, in fact, do not support the middle class, but often decimate it. So that's why I'm going to the coach thing, which is I'm going to be a life coach for you since I have common sense. So let's take a caller out of West Virginia. Paul, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, do you think I'm going crazy? Because I talk to my dog all the time, and she listens.
Well, hold on. The question is, are you going crazy because you talk to your dog? The answer is very straightforward. No, you are not crazy if you talk to your dog. However, my friend, if you start hearing your dog answer, I would suggest you see a psychiatrist. You know, it doesn't matter if you talk to her. That's fine. But if you hear her answering you, and it's become like a cartoon, like an animation, like Francis the Talking Mule, and you actually hear her saying, Paul, here's what I think you really got to do, buddy. Then I would really, at that point, call 911. So, I mean, when you talk to your dog, what do you ask her? Do you ask her questions or you just talk?
I just talk to her like she's just another person, because most of the people I talk to are such idiots. It doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So, you know, do you explain to your dog what you're doing when you're driving around?
She goes with me everywhere, and she sits in the seat next to me.
I understand, and they act like they know what you're saying. They're such good actors, dogs. They're amazing. They look at you like, man, no kidding, it's hard. And they give you that face, that sympathetic eyes. What kind of dog is she? Golden Retriever?
Soft-coated Wheaton Terrier.
And what, when you talk to her, does she look like she understands you?
Yes.
Yes. So let's say you're driving around. What kind of car or pickup truck?
I have a van.
A van. Is it blacked over? Or are there windows in it? Or you have handcuffs attached to the doors? Or
well, No. Actually, a lot of the times she will actually get on my lap and she makes me roll the window down and she hangs out the door.
All right. Thank God. I got a little worried for the minute. So it's not a van without windows and there's no handcuffs attached to the door handles inside. Okay, good.
No, sir. No.
Okay. So it's a normal guy with a dog, and you talked. When you drive around looking at things, do you tell her do you share your observations with your dog?
I'll tell her, hey, I think you ought to look out the window right now because there's a dog.
No, but I'm saying, let's say you're in a car and you see like a weirdo or a nut walking by. Do you say, look at that idiot? Do you ever say that to your dog?
No.
How about if you see a gangbanger walking by with pants underneath his behind? You ever ridicule the gangbanger to your dog?
Well, yeah, I'll say.
The window rolled up, of course. I'm not. I've been playing a game with my dog in my car lately, which is when I get near the house, within a mile of the house, he also likes to sit on the armrest in between the two seats because he's small, and he likes to, like, navigate and look. So I say to him, Teddy, do you know where we are? He starts looking around. I said, could you get home from here if I put you out of the car? I would never do it. And he looks, like I say, okay, do you know where you are? Would you know how to run home from here? I'm doing like crazy stuff. Like, you go straight up this road. What else, Mike? You get to the corner, you turn right. Then, Mike, what do? You turn left. Then what? Turn right. I mean, I don't know if he could run home. I mean, you hear these miraculous stories in the movies. I don't know if I ever let him out of the car. I think he'd be lost. He wouldn't know where to go. I'd like to believe he could find his way home, but I'm not sure. But to this day, he hasn't answered me, thank God, Paul, because if the day he starts answering, you won't be hearing from me anymore.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Thank you.
nice to be with you this evening. I hope you're enjoying the show thus far. We're putting aside all threats from the Muslim Brotherhood and from the meddler in the White House. We're putting aside the thuggery of the unions, George Soros' megalomania and desire to take over the world. We're putting aside all the temporary problems of the world, and I'm going to answer your questions. Are they sexual in nature, financial, personal? Is it a problem with your boss? Is it with your husband? This is Mike Savage, Life Coach. Wisconsin Shannon, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I need help with the fact that I'm a hardcore Democrat. My husband is a hardcore Republican.
So what's the problem?
Well, every time there's something going on in our state or federal, like right now the situation in Wisconsin, it sparks huge arguments between the two of us.
So do what women have done for centuries, withhold sex.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Why?
We have a six-month-old baby, so he doesn't have them very often anyways.
Well, that's what babies are for, aren't they? To keep the husband away.
It's the best birth control ever, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons women used to have babies every year or so was to make sure the husband left them alone. Well, I don't know what the problem is. You're not going to change his mind. He's not going to change yours. You're a communist and he's a Republican. What are you going to do?
Is there any way to, like, even it out some?
Well, I mean, is there any way for him to reach you with any reason? If, in other words, if your state is broke and bankrupt and the governor's asking teachers to pay a small amount towards their own pension and their own health care, does that not make sense to you? Where should the money come from? Where should the money come from?
There's other ways to cut spending.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean there are other ways to cut spending? Why is it that people who work for a private company contribute to their own pensions and their own health care, but government workers should not? Is that fair? You're a Democrat. You're a fair-minded Democrat. Why should state workers be exempt from sharing the burden of supporting themselves?
Teachers don't make very much for wages.
A very good point, but neither do people in the private sector today. At least they have a job in teaching. They have a job that's secure. That's better than a lot of people who don't have any job at all.
Understandable.
You see, Shannon, things have changed. The world is not what it was when your parents were alive. Thank you for the call. Oh, does that husband have trouble? I see there's no way to reason with people when they make... Salt Lake City, Ryan, what's your question for Dr. Savage?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm 33 years old. I have a bachelor's degree, but I'm thinking about going back to get my MBA. I just don't know if it's going to pay off in the long run if I spend the $50,000 to get the MBA. Is it going to pay off for me later on?
My suggestion is forget the MBA, spend $400 on a life coach degree and become a life coach. You'll make more money faster.
That could be true.
I hear people are doing it. They're actually paying some people money to get some kind of like experience in being a life coach. How the heck could you become a life coach if you haven't lived?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are they going to advise people of if they haven't gone through it themselves? Now, as far as an MBA goes, I don't know. There was a time when it was a union card to a job in a corporation. Do MBAs really teach you today what you need to know in this economy? I can't answer that question. Do you have a family business, perhaps, that you're thinking of taking over? Or you got to create your own business?
Well, as of right now, I'm already employed, and it's always kind of been a dream of mine to be an entrepreneur and maybe start a business. But
Then why do you need an MBA? An MBA requires a good idea, some money, and the ability to go ahead and do it. You don't need an MBA for that. I mean, you need to know the basic principles of a business, marketing, etc. You need to know how to do that, but I don't know that you don't need a degree for that today. You could go on the internet right now and you could run a search that says what do I need to know to run a small business? Give me 10 steps. You could probably find it in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and that's true. But I mean, if that doesn't work out, if I need to, you know, lean back on a larger corporation, will it give me a head?
All right, that's another point. In other words, if you're looking to tomorrow in a more competitive marketplace, the MBA certainly would distinguish you from an applicant with an ordinary bachelor's degree. In that regard, yes, I'm always for that higher degree if it's from a decent university, and that's what you want.
If, on the other hand, you're looking really to be an entrepreneur, you've got to think about what your best ideas might be. What, you know, the old statement, build a better mousetrap and people will be the door to, a path to your doorstep. It's still true, by the way. It is still true. In fact, even in a down economy, people are still spending money, right?
Right.
Okay. So it's not like suddenly no one's buying anymore. They're not trading like oyster shells for their dinner. They're spending money. So if you put out a better product in a restaurant, people are going to go to it at a good price. Or whatever your, I don't know what your ideas are. You have to start thinking about your ideas rather than the degree. I put my ideas ahead of my degrees. Then I'd worry about it. You could hire an MBA to be your partner. Hire an MBA who killed himself for 3 years and make him the CFO and give him a piece of the business. Let him figure out all the angles of the business if you have a good idea. And you could buy you could sidestep having to go to school.
All right.
I know some of the people I know who are the most successful, whether they be in the media or in business, never even went to college, by the way. And they're multimillionaires because they had a good idea and they were willing to invest their own time and energy and build that business. And it could still be done. As I say, even in a down economy, there are products that have not yet been invented that people who are looking for a way out of a down economy would if I was hungry for money right now, I could come up with 5 ideas to get people to follow me right now and to give them the hope that they might find a way out of the morass they're in. I wouldn't do it because I don't want to exploit anybody. But there are ways that you can come up with ideas every day of the week, Ryan. Good economy, bad economy, it doesn't matter.
All right, thank you.
Anyway, so the bottom line of my answer to you is this. If you're thinking of security and you want to go in a big corporation, yes, go for the MBA. If, on the other hand, you have a better mousetrap that you want to put out and market right now, go to work with an MBA. Make him your CFO. Give him a piece of the business. If he thinks it's good, give him a percentage and let him go out and raise the money and go sell it. Thanks for the call. I'd like a sex question right now. Oh, here we got one here. Alabama. Elaine, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. My husband has not made or shown any interest in being intimate with me in 4 years or longer. And every time I pinpoint it and sit him down and question him about it, he will start cursing me and just jump up and leave the room. Mm. And so I was wondering what your...
How many years have you been together?
31.
Well, look, I don't want to make any jokes about it, but, you know, the romantic phase ended a while ago, correct?
Well, you with me it was forced, but...
With you what was forced?
It was forced to end with me because he's not interested, and I'm not about...
Well, hold on. So what is the basis of your relationship if it's not sexual? What keeps you together at all? You have something in common. There must be some reason. Is there a companionship element to the relationship at this point or not?
We're good friends.
Are you good friends? Do you fight all the time, or do you actually enjoy your company with him other than the sexual loss?
We enjoy each other's company other than that.
Well, let me tell you something. Elaine, you know, there's a little wisdom in what I'm going to tell you. You ask anyone going back any period of time, and they'll tell you that any long-term relationship primarily has to be based upon companionship. If you've got that, you've got 95% of the package, Elaine. A lot of people have sexuality. They have no relationship, though. They have no companionship and no care for each other. So sometimes you have to take what you have. I know the other side of you is dying. That's another story. I can't answer that one because I don't know what the dynamics are between you and your husband.
It's your opinion, because I sure don't.
But what I'm going to say to you is, without being a wise guy, is if you have kindness between each other and you enjoy each other's company, instead of approaching him with, why aren't you making love to me? Why are you rejecting my advances? Why don't you try to emphasize with him how much you enjoy being with him, and put that aside for a while. Don't even think about it. Try to put it aside, because he'll pick up the vibes that you're not approaching him to go to bed with him. You're approaching him because you like being with him, and maybe that will come back again. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
That's how I would approach that. Now, I thought that was a very sensitive answer from Dr. Mike. I think it was very touching. I thought, see, I'm doing a very good job, better than most psychiatrists. They would tell you to meet him in a motel and get ropes and, you know, get dirty movies. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I don't think that way. I know how they think, though, because I read enough of the newspapers. You know, you ever see these articles you see in the paper? how to make your sex life more interesting. I mean, it's like a trapeze act. Meet him in a motel outside a racetrack and bring clothesline. I never saw anything like this. If you have to do that already, what's the point? You may as well join a nunnery rather than do that. So what I would say is forget the sexuality and work on the companionship and the kindness. See if you can enjoy each other. That's all. So I think that's a very nice answer. I'm very happy with it. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
We need a couple hours of relief every day. We're all going to crack up from the stress of living under this incompetent administration. We don't know which way to turn. That's the truth. That's what it comes down to. Everybody wants a laugh. Everybody wants just a breather. Yesterday in the middle, like in the late afternoon, I go to a certain place. I'm not going to tell you where it is. And they have Latin dancing. So it's like, you know, Cuban style that I grew up on in New York. But thankfully, thank God, it's come to my home county. It's not late at night with the drug addicts. It's in the middle of the afternoon, which was more typical of how it used to be done and how it's done in Latin American countries. I don't understand this going to a dance club at 10 o'clock at night. Don't these people work? I don't understand it. Who can dance at 10 o'clock till 5 in the morning and go to work other than someone with a menial job? So I didn't go for years. So now this place, I heard a band last night. They were Ecuadorian. They were fantastic. All of the great pachanga, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I hung out there, so I don't know anybody there. I go up by myself and I hang out alone. And a guy comes up to me and he says, loves my show. And another guy comes up, he says, Mike, he's a musician. He said, I'm a retired Air Force officer, lieutenant colonel, blah, 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 love the show. And these guys are all into music and dancing. And some of these people are great dancers. So one word led to the other, and all of the guys started to tell each other that I was there. And then the owner, who's Italian, you know, really got into talking with me about his food, which is Tuscan, which is very strange, the combination, how good the food is, I mean. And he invited me to be, you're not going to believe this in a million years, right, where I'm coming from. He invited me to be a dance judge for next week, at a Latin dance judge. I said, what do you mean? I know what I like. He said, no, I want you to judge the dance contest next week. I said, I don't know how to judge a dance contest. He said, please come here and be a judge next week at the dance contest. I said, all right, I'll be a judge next week at the dance contest. He says, whatever you want, I'll get you a bottle of Dom Perignon. I said, please don't buy me anything. I don't want anything. I come here to enjoy the music and basically be left alone. So that was, you know, was going on, blah, blah, blah. So a guy comes up to me, and he starts talking to me, and he said he fought in the war in Israel in 1967. He was a man, maybe. He must be in his 60s. I don't know how old he is. And he was on the front lines. And he said to me, he comes to a place like this to get away from the world for a couple of hours. He says, you know what? You gotta enjoy life while you can. You know, the old basic stuff we've all heard. In other words, enjoy yourself, have a good time, escape reality with the dance, with the music, with women, whatever, right? But a healthy person can do this and then go back to the reality of their life. An unhealthy person needs the suspension of reality 24/7. So let's say they go to the dance club. Well, then they need to get high. Then after they get through with the dance club, they need to stay high. Then they need to get up in the morning and be high again. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the difference between being able to live in reality and have some fun and not being able to live in reality and going for that fun. So there's an article attached to this. We're talking about people who are drug addicted or addicted on their own ego. And the article came out today. It says, pre-adulthood separates the men from the boys. And it's a long article. It says, once upon a time in America, boys became men when they went to war or started a family. And it said those milestones still hold true. But there's an article out, how the rise of women has turned men into boys. And they say too many young men today are stuck in a stage of extended adolescence. And they'd rather hang around home and choose video games or watch the Cartoon Network over adult responsibility. And he says there simply never has been this large a percentage of single young people with so few family responsibilities and lots of entertainment. And he's talking about what was going on in the old days. And he goes back to the 50s. He said, in the 50s, most people completed the transition to adulthood, finishing school, finding their first job, marrying and having children by age 21 or so. But he says, but times have changed dramatically. And he says, my students today, they're going to live, if demographers are right, into their mid-90s. So they look at me and they say, no, wait, get married at age 20? I'm not sure I want to be married to the same person for 76 years. And they have a point. And he says, young single adulthood is a stage of development. It's not going away. So I'm going to ask you a question, because they're arguing that it's very hard right now to get a job. Listen to what they say. It's much harder to find your way into your first good job, says Heimowitz, and takes longer still to move to the next professional level. And then they say, in this new economy, young people will take much, much longer to grow up. Do you agree that that's the reason, because it's hard to find a job? I don't think that's the reason at all. When was it ever easy to find a job in America? When I graduated college, it was very hard to find a job. It was never easy. Nothing has ever been easy. You mean it was easier for your great-grandfather living somewhere in Europe with 5, 10 children or whatever they had over there, scratching a living out of the earth? It was easier for him? So it's all a lie. There's some other reason that boys won't become men. What is the reason that boys won't become men? Do you think it's because women have turned into men themselves? He's saying the rise of women has turned men into boys. We know that more women have college degrees. We know that more women are more aggressive than ever before. We know that women look like men, act like men, talk like men, have the morals of men. And so many men don't even want to get married. They don't go out with women. They don't want to get married. What's the point of getting married when they go out and meet someone and have a roll in the hay, so to speak, without getting married? Do you think it's because of women's liberation that men are staying as boys? Do you think it's because of the sexual revolution of the 60s? What exactly do you think is the reason so many men won't get married? Why do you think so many men remain boys, if you want to put it to you that way? You know, night falls over Manhattan, night falls over San Francisco, night falls over all of us, and then life itself falls at the end. Where is it written on my birth certificate, I ask myself today? I woke up and I said, where is it written I have to save Western civilization? Where is it written that I have to get up every day and carry this world on my shoulders? So I went and got my birth certificate. It has my name, where I was born and when I was born. It has my mother's name and my father's name. But it doesn't say, Michael, you shall save Western civilization. You shall be required unto the 70 to scream your heart out as you watch the world going up in flames with Quislings at every level of the U.S. government. You don't have to do that. What the heck are you doing it for? Just play rock and roll and do a two-dimensional radio show. You'll make more money, like the rest of them. Just have them call up and say, you're a great American. Tell them, yes, I'm a great American. That's all. Then when someone calls up and says ditto, say ditto to you. That's all. That's what they used to. They want a John Nagy radio show. Republicans, good. Republicans going to save America. It's those dams that are no good. You got to vote for Republicans. Don't vote for them dams, no good. Republicans, good. Dems, bad. It's astounding. I don't know if the audience has gotten dumber or I've gotten dumber, but something's wrong here. I have never seen anything like it. The callers are getting stupider by the day. The media has gotten dumber by the day. And so maybe I'm getting stupider by the day. Maybe we've all gotten dumber together under Obama. It's possible that Obama's lowered the native intelligence of the American people by around 15 points since he seized power and he took control of the media. But why are we so surprised at what Obama's doing? Why are the Republicans not standing up?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
why are so many boys stuck in boyhood? Why do so many guys in their 20s and 30s, basically, why are they still like children? What's causing this? Is it that the aggressive nature of, is it because of the aggressive nature of women? Is it because of the women's movement? Is it because for 30 years there's been propaganda that men are unnecessary? Why is this? Why are there so few men? And especially, by the way, this is a very difficult thing to point out, but it's a demographic reality. Caucasian men in particular are wimps, young men. You don't see this as much amongst the Latino men. Many of the Latino men will get married young and have families. You don't see this as much amongst other races. You see it primarily amongst Caucasian men in the West. Why is it that they remain Boy Scouts instead of becoming Scoutmasters? Why are so many men, shall I say males, let's put it to you that way, stuck in boyhood? Why is it that they didn't do what probably you did if you're part of my generation, getting married relatively young, struggling, having children very young, basically killing yourself very young to have a family? Now, what motivated people of my generation to do that? I'm going to lay down a couple of ideas that I have, and then I'm going to ask you your ideas. For one, when I was a young man, I knew what was expected of me. There was no question. My parents, my relatives let me know very clearly that a male in our society should go to college, get a career, find a girl, pick one out of the chorus line, get married and have children, or else there were questions about you. There were questions about you in every way. Like, what's wrong with you that you can't get married? I mean, if you hit 30 and you weren't married already, forget about it. You know what I'm saying? You had to meet someone, get married, and have children. You say, well, that was the dark ages. Really? Hey, schmuck, I'd like to say to you, if it wasn't for guys like your father, you wouldn't be here. Think about what I just said to you. If it wasn't for the so-called dark ages, you wouldn't be here. If your father behaved the way you are, you wouldn't be here. Don't you understand that? So what exactly is going on in our society that so many white men, so many white males are afraid to become men, in plain English? In plain English, that's all. What is doing it? What happened? Why are they so boy-like instead of men? What happened to this country? And there are many answers, by the way. There's not a single answer. So let's start with the callers. I've given you one little example. I think there are others. I mean, we could blame it on Hollywood. We could blame it on the women's movement. We could blame it on medication. We could blame it on the drinking water. We could blame it on a lot of things. And there's probably an element of truth in all of that. There are hormones in our foods that have feminized men, by the way. You say, oh, you know, it's right-wing stuff. No, it's true, well-known. There are plastics that mimic hormones that are turning men into kind of like guppies. And that's been documented. But that's not the sole reason that a lot of men won't get married. They do date girls. They have a lot of sex. There's a lot of sex out there, and that has something to do with it, too. The women aren't holding it back anymore. They're like guys. I'm equal to a guy, so I'll have as many men as I want sexually. Oh, good, so that's why you're not married? Get back to me when you're 35, 40. Tell me what happens then. So what's doing this, that so many white males in particular are unwilling to become men? Ann Arbor, Michigan. Barry, we'll start with you. What's your opinion? How come so many white males are stuck in boyhood?
I'm going to hazard a guess, but I think from my experience, you hear in a white male community, I don't even want to say that, sorry. You hear what you should make when you take a job. And I think that's elevated.
Wait. What you're saying? Okay, you're saying the employment expectations are so high that people don't meet up to it and they feel inadequate.
And they hold out or they wait until they get that job that they think they should be getting.
And haven't they ever heard about starting at the bottom and working your way up?
No, I think many of them haven't.
I think that's a very big point. I think it's a very true point. I mean, I know it's true. A lot of young people have the idea that they are too good for menial jobs. Oh, I'm too good for retail, man. After I get home, there's nothing left. So I'll just stay home and sponge off Obamacare till I'm 27. Thanks for the call. So that's one. I mean, I got out of college. I wasn't particularly a good student. I didn't know where I was going. I had a few upsets along the way. I had to leave school for one semester. My father had had a heart attack. I had help run the store. So I got out. I was sort of drifting around a little bit. I took a job as a social worker because it was a very low-level, entry-level job. I took the job because at least it was a job. I lived lower than some of the welfare recipients. I had no furniture. I've told you the story. I wasn't ashamed of myself. I knew that, you know, I'll do it for a while. But you know what happens after a while is you get ashamed of yourself. You see people living better. So you have two choices at that point. You could walk around with a chip on your shoulder and hate everybody. Or you could say, you know what, I want to make better of my life, and I'm going to work harder. I went back to school. I continued. Then I got a job teaching, and I went to graduate school after teaching all day till 10 o'clock at night. I did that many nights a week. So I got a master, blah, blah, blah. I kept pushing myself, pushing. And the more I did, the more ambitious I became. That's the strangest thing. And the older I got, the more ambitious I became. Would you believe it? To this day, people say to me, why don't you retire? I said, there's no such word in my vocabulary. I don't know what the word means. Retire from what to what? I don't play golf. I don't play tennis, etc. There's no such thing as retire. It doesn't mean I'm not tired a lot of the times and exhausted from overwork. I've taken on too much. I mean, I'm writing a novel. I'm writing a nonfiction book. I'm doing five shows a week. It is a little too much. The biggest battle in my life that sucked me dry, it's almost killed me, is this battle in the UK. You wouldn't believe it. It's drained me. I hate to admit it. But the liberals, in a way, have beaten me almost to the point of winning. I have to admit it to you. I have to look back over the last 2 years. I'd say the single biggest drain of my energy has been what the illegitimate former Prime Minister of England did to me, Gordon Brown, that corrupt sack of you-know-what, with his porno-making a Home Secretary, Jackie Smith. Incidentally, please go to michaelsavage.com and sign the petition to get my name off the list. It's perfectly free, and it'll be very important if we can break 100,000 names by the end of the week. Anyway, so what's your answer? Why are so many white males refusing to become men? Tim on WOR, what's your answer? Why?
Lack of accountability, Michael. Without a doubt, people nowadays feel as if they're not responsible and they don't have to worry about the outcome of what they do on a daily basis.
Let me see if I follow that, because I don't quite, in my own mind, I'm so overly responsible. I don't even understand what you mean. You mean the young men don't want responsibility?
No, what I'm saying is they're not being held accountable for who they are and what they do and the difference between...
Oh, in other words, mommy or daddy doesn't say, why are you acting like a boy? Why don't you get married already and be a man?
Eureka. Men are not what they used to be. And I think the feminization thing is a valid point, and I think that the drugging and the rest of it are all important issues, but the accountability...
In other words, the way I was raised, good old shame and humiliation is no longer used in child rearing.
Well, absolutely.
It works. It's one of the best principles of child rearing that has ever been invented. You ask, you remember I did a show about 2 months ago on the Chinese mother who's so condemning of her children if they don't, you know, get super A's. Remember that? She said we shame our children. We yell at them. We call them names if they don't do well. That's the opposite of the white family today, isn't it?
Yep, and the nice thing about you is that you're not racist, nor am I. I have a background in psychology and sociology, and I, too, graduated from a very liberal state school, but not from California. I have since become very conservative in my ways. If you look at a black grandmother, for instance, they've basically taken over the role of what a black male should be doing as a father, and they'll do just what you're talking about. They'll do a wonderful job of putting, you know, a young black male in its place so that they know boundaries and so that they have healthy ways about them as opposed to running rampant and not knowing their way.
Interesting. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Hardest act in the world is to be married and have children. Oh, no one said it's easy. Whoever said that was easy? I'll never forget the day I went into a restaurant. I first moved to California, North Beach. The guy is dead now. I don't remember that. I don't want to talk. And he had a placemat that with his own sayings on it, the old school Italian sayings. And he said, anybody can do the easy thing. A man does the hard thing. That kind of thing. I liked the guy. We got along very good because I was raised that way. Who said raising a family is supposed to be easy? Who said that having a relationship is supposed to be easy? Who said that? Where is it written? Where'd you get that idea? And I'm trying to get to the reason why mainly white males remain boys so long, why they won't get married, why they won't have children. You can't entirely blame them. Take a look at the women out there. You know, I could go into this whole story, and there's no point, because then you'll accuse me of misogyny, which is as far from the truth as you could possibly get. The woman's movement, no doubt, destroyed the whole concept of family in the Western world. Now you say, well, it's too bad. Women didn't want to be broodmares. They didn't want to just be staying at home while a guy went out and had a good time and, you know, had a career and she stayed home. I understand all of that. But now take a look at where we are today. Take a look at the demographics of America, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. And you'll come to ask yourself, is this the direction you want the country to go in? Because that's the way it's going. And do you want to turn it around? Can you turn it around? What caused it? Why are so many white males remaining boys so long? Why don't they become men? Ethan in New York, you're on the Savage Nation. Give us your opinion.
I'm 26. I got a master's. I've been looking for a teaching job for the past 3 years, and I can't get married unless I'm financially stable enough. It's what I was raised.
Ethan, you said you're looking for a teaching job. You can't even get a teaching job?
Well, social studies is hard to find, especially...
No, I understand. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Are they hiring minorities but not white males, or are you a minority?
To be honest, I haven't really seen that. I found that if anything, they're just not hiring anyone that's my age group.
Okay, because for a long while it was white males need not apply, particularly to civil service jobs. They put everybody ahead of the white male, but you're saying that's not the reason at all. There's no jobs at all.
No, I think that they.
But Ethan, would you, if you had a decent starting job, do you think you'd look to get married anyway?
Yeah, like I said, but I don't want to get...
But what, hold it, let's take the other side. What's in marriage? What would you want out of a marriage?
Kids, probably number one, eventually.
Kids. So you have the instinct to want to be a father?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that still do guys still have that desire to raise children? I do see a lot of men playing with their children. They seem to enjoy themselves. I do see it. I look around. I'm not blind. But I wonder how strong an impulse that is amongst men today. Where do you get the idea? Where does a young man get the idea that being a father is a super thing to be? Being a husband is a great thing to be? Where does he get the idea? Where is he supposed to get it from? If the churches don't reinforce it, if the synagogues don't reinforce the concept of being a father or a man, where are they supposed to get it from? Hollywood? From who? Have you ever seen who writes the scripts, who acts in them? They're not reinforcing the concept of a family. When have you last heard someone extolling, he's a family man? You know, when I was young, I would listen to the parents, directly or indirectly. I'd hear them talking, and I hear them would talk. Well, it's a different world altogether. First of all, there were parents in the house. That's number one. Number two, there were relatives who were in the neighborhood who came over, and friends of the family who came over. Every night there was somebody in the house having coffee and cake, and they would talk. And as a young guy, who listened? I listened from another room, or I was doing my own thing, but you overheard. And you picked up a lot through the wall, so to speak. But they would always talk about various actors even sometimes, and they would say things like, oh, well, he's a family man. But they would say it with respect if they were referring to a particular actor or entertainer. They looked up to somebody who was a family man as opposed to a runaround guy, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. So as a young guy, you get the idea that getting married and having children is a respectful thing to do. Now let's compare that to today. When have you last seen a movie that extols the image of a young man struggling to get his first job, to meet a decent girl, to have a child, and to raise the child, whether you begin in your parents' house, doesn't matter. That was a European tradition for centuries, where the family would, the next generation stayed in the same house. There was nothing wrong with that. There's nothing new under the sun. No one says you have to have a separate apartment every time, you know, each generation. Stay in the same house. There's room for you. I'm sure the parents would probably like it if you don't have the money. It still goes on in most of the world. So what I'm getting at is it's not about the housing. There's something else going on here. The Oscars, very important show, the American, again, Oscars. And now for the best and most important screenplay to do with all of the important issues of the day. Oscar, the big sleep show said to be void of pizzazz. Oscar show run. I don't watch it. You know, it's so predictable. It's, you know, big deal. It's, to me, it's a trade show. It's like if you're a plumber and you have the plumber of the year or the product of the year. They give out like a big lead pipe. That's what the Oscar looks like to me. Who's the host? James Franco, never heard of him. Anne Hathaway, don't know who it is. Who is James Franco and Jane Hathaway? I don't know who they are. Steven Spielberg won the Best Picture. Hilary Swank and Catherine Bigelow hand out Best Director. Host James Franco, never heard of him. Anne Hathaway, don't know who she is. Blah, blah, five wardrobe changes and open the show with one of those Billy Crystal, blah, blah, blah. A guest host will perform a monologue. Blah, 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 blah. Celine Dion sings Smile. Maybe she could try the Star-Spangled Banner in Swahili. I mean, what is she going to do? New writers will join. And for the best writer of the best documentary on cancer, we bring out Barry Rothenberg from Queens, New York. He wheels his mother out and he thanks her, and she's in an old age home, and a picture of mom and dad who sent him to the High School of Performing Art. And if it wasn't for the High School of Performing Art and a city union that helped him when he was a child, if it wasn't for the unions of Manhattan, New York, who taught him how to play the piano when he was a child, he wouldn't be winning this award for the best composition for a documentary on cancer. And everyone sits there, and the camera pans, and there's the bored people stoned out of their gourd. Then you all try to get into Mr. Chow's, the worst Chinese food in the world. I know I shouldn't say this. I know people who like it have great taste, but I got to tell you, I know Chinese food, and I know that is the worst.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
What are they telling our children? And does that partially explain why, in particular, white males are remaining boys for so long, is what we're talking about. You can't blame it all on Hollywood. You can blame it on birth control pills. You can blame it on the women's movement. You can blame it on Hollywood. You can blame it on the death of the church as a role model. You can blame it on the single-parent household with this little father, a few fathers around. You can blame it on a lot of things. It's a multifactorial problem. I don't think we're going to solve it just by talking about it, but I'm asking the question. How is it that in my generation, I'll tell you, almost every guy I knew, everyone I knew was married in their 20s, got married and had a child, except one guy who was oriented another way. He happened to die very young of a drug overdose, by the way. But everybody else got married, had children. Why? They were required to, expected to, did so. So you say, oh, well, they were miserable. They were unhappy. Well, don't be so sure, number one. And on the other side, you're telling me that young guys today are so happy because they're not married? You're telling me happiness exists in not getting married? Happiness is having nobody at home? Happiness is having to go out every night and looking for somebody like an animal walking in the streets, stalking? Walking around in the gutter looking for somebody like a mate, like a dog, every night walking around, that's happiness? So tell me, why is this happening, particularly to the white male? As I say to you, it is particularly a product of the white male today in the West. You don't see this in most Asian nations. You don't see it in African nations. You see it primarily in so-called affluent white communities. Why is it happening? Does anyone have an answer? Well, we have all these answers. We've covered it. And I'd like to know what you think about this. So let's go to the callers and see what they think around America. New York, Sandy, go ahead, please, your opinion.
Dr. Savage, I'm truly honored. I think there are many contributing factors, the pesticides in the water, turning the hormones more female. But I think two main reasons. First of all, yes, there are a lot of single women raising boys, and I don't think a woman can raise a boy to become a man. I think a man needs to be there. Not only that, it's not politically correct to be a man. I think that...
So you're saying young guys are afraid to act like men? They're afraid that they'll be ostracized if they act gruff?
I don't think it's socially acceptable anymore, and I think that it's been a long-range...
So you mean because the roles have been reversed? Women are allowed to act like men, and men are acting like women?
Well, I think we've opened the door to a lot of different behaviors, but I think that, I don't know, it's been sort of like a strategic movement. You know, in the 60s, men were running to Canada, they weren't holding up their end of the familial bargain, like, you know, it, women are attracted to strong men, at least I think so. And that's sort
of... Well, do you mean... Wait, when you say strong men, do you mean men with money? I got you there.
Well, I can't deny that. But I think even if you watch birds, it's the male. He makes the best nest. He cleans it out. The one who seems like the safer bet is the one the female...
You know, I once had an old Russian rabbi talk to me when I was young. You know what he said to me? From the old school, he said to me... He was joking with the words. He didn't speak very good English, and he said the word husband means house band.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean? He said, house band. He puts a band around the house, and he holds it together. I thought that was a beautiful statement, by the way.
Well, not only that, but you take the male equation out, you factor that out. Men protect their realm. Now, if you're saying that men are not important... Who do we have to protect our realm? However small, it could be just five kids and a wife in a small home. But I think that men look at the world so much differently than women do, and we can't get them confused. And it's just
Are you saying that men have become cowardly?
No,
Does that summarize it all in a nutshell? If we were writing this in simplistic terms, would we say that the white male has abrogated his responsibilities to become a husband and a father because he's become cowardly?
I don't think it's cowardly. I think he's kind of giving up.
Giving up? That's interesting. That is a distinction, isn't it?
What?
He's giving up. Why? Because he can't do it. He can't cop to it. He can't do that role.
No, I think every place he goes, look at TV, they make the man look like an idiot. The only one who knows anything at home is the woman. And every place...
Yeah, the TV ads are horrible, but most TV ads, the ad industry is run by guys like Galliano, the designer. Okay, they're all about the same. The mentality is the same, and that's why they denigrate the male. I understand that. But by the way, they don't just target the white male. I've seen them do this, by the way, recently to the black male in ads, too. It's disgusting. Every male, whether it of any race, is denigrated in ads, turned into some kind of schlemiel, non-human, like a weakling. The lawnmower falls out of his hand. He sets the barbecue on fire. He falls over, and mommy has to come save him, right?
Yes. Yes. It's like the mother is the only one who knows what's going on. And I think, you know, as a young boy...
So in other words, if you want to put it in that bigger context, it is the women's movement. Who has tried to make the male irrelevant. They have made the male irrelevant. They want the matriarchy to run America on some principle idea that the matriarchy is somehow better than the patriarchy, and a matriarchy will save America. Well, how did that work out? Just take a look at the White House. Take a look at Hillary Clinton. How's that worked out with the matriarchy in power?
Michael, did you...
How's that worked out with Michelle Obama in the White House running everything? And by the way, it's alleged on the inside that the advisors to the president are his wife and his mother-in-law. That they're really running the country. How's that worked out for the country?
Yeah, looks good, huh? Did you ever look at that study that they did on elephants? I know it's ridiculous, it sounds stupid, but male elephants, they were so worried about all these poachers getting all the elephants, they decided to move a whole bunch of them out. But they didn't have the tools to get the big buck males out. They didn't have the machinery to get them out. So they got females and young. What started to happen over a year or so is that the males began to form gangs and beat up the other females, things that in the elephant community...
Wow, you're kidding. You mean once the elephant family structure broke down, they became kind of wild?
It got so bad that young female elephants were being raped rather than joining into family relationships with the other young males. But what they some smart scientist, and I wish I remember his name.
Whoa, this is some story. Wow.
Good. Anyway, what he said, well, you know, maybe we need to bring back the bulls. By this time, all the young male elephants were just, they ran the river. Nobody can go and drink without their permission. They ran in gangs. They were just terrible. They were beating up the other animals around. Anyway, they finally got large enough machinery and tools to get the huge bull males there.
And
okay, so one day, these bull males are just, you know, maybe only four of them, nonchalantly going down to the watering hole. And they're going to
drink. You're starting to sound like Janet Napolitano now.
No, oh, no, no, listen.
No, I don't mean the elephant analogy. I mean your voice suddenly shifted into Big Sis. So go on. What's the end of the story?
Okay, the interesting thing is that now nobody got in his way. These young guys just moved aside, and they took testosterone levels. Do you know that prior to those bull male elephants going there, that the T levels on these young boys was through the roof? Once
yeah.
the older males began, you know, asserting themselves just by the very way they were walking, they didn't
yes.
have to do anything.
Right.
The T levels, the testosterone levels in these young males started to go way down.
You're kidding. That's an amazing story. I mean, this is a hell of a study. Heck of a study.
Well, see, you speak my
language. Sandy, are you a scientist? What do you do?
Oh, I'm a registered nurse. But my mind is in other places.
Yeah, this is a heck of a story about elephants. You know that that's a weakness of mine, elephants.
There's so many things, you know, and I know about the pesticides turning, you know, well, causing the body to produce female hormones.
Yes, that's right. Some of the plastics in our food and water supply in the environment mimic estrogenic compounds. There's no question about it. That's not mythology. Also, the high level of soy that's been introduced into the American diet is completely unnatural for this population, incidentally, and it's also feminized men. Do you know that? Soy-based products also mimic estrogenic-like compounds.
I know. But you know what I found out? Is it's almost impossible.
Well, no, let's go into diet for a minute. It's something I'm an expert in. Do you know how many young boys have been raised for 20 years on low-fat, no-fat diets? No meat, low-fat, no-fat diets? Have you any idea what that does to a child?
Right. Without fat, you can't absorb. You can only do vitamin C and B complex. You know, they're water soluble.
The boys are nutritionally deficient. They're deprived of hormone building blocks, and so they're not developing into full male. So I really have not even talked about the nutritional component of this extended childhood, so to speak, or extended boyhood. I appreciate your call very much. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Change in the social evolution of mankind, and I'm sure it's been touched upon by sociologists, and this is, of course, AM Talk Radio, but I think it's an interesting question because of the kind of leadership we have in America. Would you say he's a strong leader? No, nobody would say that. Everyone calls him a wimp. Would you say he's acting like a strong male in the past would have acted? Absolutely not. In many ways, we have a president who's acting like a teenager, strangely enough. Now, I want to read an article, Elephants and Teenagers. Something familiar happened, eerily familiar happened in Africa recently. Adult elephants were taken away and the orphan youngsters were left to fend for themselves. The youngsters started the path to sexual maturity. The young boy elephants were going into lengthy musts, as a dog would go into heat much longer than a normal elephant in a normal setting. The boys ganged together. They started raping and killing white rhinos, an endangered species. They were displaying extreme aggression. The park authorities were very concerned. Someone had the idea to bring in 10 adult bulls to straighten out the gang of elephant thugs. Sure enough, the mature male elephants put the band of so-called delinquent juveniles in their place. The adults were reintroduced and life turned back to normal. No more killings. The elephants and rhinos were at peace again. Obviously, strong male and female presences are needed in these elephants' lives. The young elephants needed the adults from when they were defenseless babies through the time they were in their elephant teenage years. In the meantime, over in the United States of America, there was another gang-related murder in your city. Another fatherless, semi- or fully orphaned teenager shot a man and then reported back to his or her gang of delinquent juveniles. Perhaps we should take a lesson from the elephants. Very well written. Summarizes it quite well. And what's the answer to this question? I don't have an instant answer. The government's not going to say, well, what's the answer? There's no single answer. Discussing it is the beginning of an answer. Talking about it, it makes thoughts. You know, I once compared talk radio when I got started 16, 17 years ago. God, March 21st will be how long? 1994, whatever, 17 years already. it's my fifth career in my life. This is not my first career. I had many other successful careers. This has been my most successful. And maybe there'll be another one after this. I don't know what it'll be, but I'm not giving up so fast. But anyway, when I first started, I compared talk radio to throwing a stone into a calm pond and watching the rivulets that emanate from that stone in the calm pond. In other words, I throw ideas out, then you call in, and we reverberate back and forth, and these ideas spread through society. This is a form of influencing society, talk radio at its best, is a way of influencing society. But when you think about it, movies are far more influential than talk radio. Look at what it's done to America. Again, I want to go back to an image I remember. In the 1980s, my children were very young. I remember going to the movies. Every movie poster, without exception, in the early 1980s, showed a Hollywood starlet or a Hollywood actor with a pistol in his hand. All the white actors held a gun in their hand, all the anti-gun advocates. Every movie poster, or almost every, a handgun in their hand with a tough look, with their hands crossed, with their legs, you know, tough guys. And every one of them had a pistol in their hand. I got so incensed by this. Of course, I didn't have a radio show at the time to sound off with, but I do now. And I'm going to say that Hollywood's had a huge influence on the destruction of our society in this way. I mean, we know about every other way, but we know about the degradation of the morality of America. Tie it right to Hollywood. Go down the list. Tell me a positive thing Hollywood's done in their imagery. Tell me one positive thing Hollywood's done in the last 20 years. Tell me one positive thing other than entertain us. And don't get me wrong, I watch movies at night. I enjoy them. But I'm a grown male. I can watch a movie without being influenced by them. I watch it for various reasons or for pure entertainment. Although, admittedly, in my own tastes, I'm more interested in military history and history channels more than I am in anything else. But nevertheless, can you name one positive thing? I'd like to hear one positive thing without challenging you. One positive societal thing that's been done by Hollywood in the last 20 years. They give themselves awards. They pat themselves on the back. They wear dresses designed by Nazis and Hitler lovers. We don't even mock them for that. Most of these girls, you look at them, they're innocent kids, by the way. You listen to them, they're just children. You're not mad at them. They're children. Guys like Charlie Sheen, you could be mad at because he should know better. But the girls are just girls. What do you expect a girl to do? She went to the High School of Performing Arts and she acted models. Can you name one positive male role model in Hollywood? Name one. Name somebody who acts like a man the way you'd like expect a man to behave. Let's take some of the top lead bull elephant male actors, okay? Let's put in that context. Name one. I can't think of one. I think of George Clooney as a more mature actor, yet every one of his roles is that of a druggie or a sexy guy who's just on the prowl. I don't think he's married, is he? I think he said last week he couldn't run for office because he's had sex with too many women, he's used too many drugs. He said that's just a fact. But every one of the roles he's in is that of sort of that type of personality. And, of course, tied in with the social agenda. Naturally, of course, if you use drugs and sex, you've got to be a leftist and a progressive. But the point is, I cannot think of one white male actor who portrays that of the bull elephant in our society, so to speak, in a more broad term, right? Make believe we're in a classroom. We're just talking about this. Can anyone help me with this one? Virtually every male actor is in some way in great deficit in this area. I don't know if one script that's written that could get produced by the folks who run Hollywood. But what do you think the reason is? Now, it has a lot to do with the women, birth control, has a lot to do with the sex, the freely available sex that the women themselves just want to have fun. No question about it. You can blame them. I know you blame them if you want. One person I respect sent this email, said, why? Two things happen, vanity and selfishness, foolishness. With birth control and abortion at will, women have ultimate freedom to choose. Girls just want to have fun and they don't want to ruin their bodies. Now men are more nurturing than women. That's an email I just got. We haven't even touched on the birth control and abortion because that's a hot topic, but it is directly related to what we are talking about. With birth control and abortion at will, women have ultimate freedom to choose. So in other words, maybe 30, 40 years ago, a woman would have had a baby by accident, but she wouldn't have been so quick to abort the baby. And if she would have gotten pregnant, she would have gotten married because she was pregnant. What's wrong with that? We have a black president.
named Barack Obama, which shows that white people will vote outside of color lines if they think that the man is right for the job. They were hoodwinked, of course, by Soros and his money, in my estimation, and, of course, the Democrat Socialists of America in the media. But nevertheless, America elected a black man. Alan West is an African-American who happens to be the real McCoy in the sense that he's a Iraq combat vet, retired as a lieutenant colonel, served his country, great man, and he just stepped up to the plate. And today, February 18, 2011, he wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton on behalf of Michael Savage, which is on my website, and I don't want to read you the whole story again. But he ends with this. He says, "For a nation who believes in the freedom of speech and press, I have a hard time understanding why such a high-level government department would release this statement about Michael Savage when there has not been one incident recorded in the United States regarding Dr. Savage instigating violence, let alone serious criminal acts." And he goes on to say, "Please do not let the United Kingdom's policy to be used as a model for other countries around the world. Please let our model of freedom of speech be the impetus of change around the world. Yours respectfully, Alan B. West, Member of Congress."